Welcome back to the Tipsy Tennis Podcast. This is a part of a series where I was at the International Tennis Hall of Fame in Newport, Rhode Island. In this episode, I walk through the museum and go over some of tennis's history. Alongside that, I played a pre-qualifier tournament for the 250 event, interviewed my opponent, and interviewed the director of the Tennis Hall of Fame. So without further ado, let's jump into it.
So tennis as we know it is actually called lawn tennis. You hear table tennis, well, this is lawn tennis. Because when tennis first started, it was played on a lawn, on the grass. The game actually originates in the 1600s from a game called jeu de paume, hand of the palm, which is very similar. When tennis moved from France to England, cricket was a very popular sport and they had these big lawns. And the way tennis got popular is there was a company, nobody knows who, but they started selling nets, rackets, and balls as just kind of like a set that you could just go to the park and set it up. And that's how lawn tennis originated. And I would say this happened in maybe late 1700s or so. So right now we're gonna go through the history of tennis in the International Tennis Hall of Fame. Let's go check out the rest of the museum. So every single year they have an induction ceremony for the players in the Tennis Hall of Fame. They're usually retired players. This year the inductees are Vijay Amritaj, Leander Pays, and one other dude, I forgot his name. And these are all Hall of Famers. You can see Agassi, for example, he finished his career in around, I would say 2004, 2005. That might have been his last US Open. He was inducted in 2011. Andy Roddick, 2017, relatively recent. Going back to even Ken Rosewald, he was inducted in 1980, and I believe he was winning a lot of tournaments through the 50s. So you have the Rocket, Rod Laver over here. And now we have the birth of tennis. We're gonna read it and see if I was right. So, tennis, a game played by millions around the world, has its origins to the 12th century in Europe. More an evolution than an invention, tennis originated from court tennis, a game played in medieval monasteries and other walled spaces. In 1877, Wimbledon hosted the first championships, and in 1881, the first US national championships was contested here in Newport. So the very first edition of the US championships was held here. Some people may confuse that with the first US Open that was won by Arthur Ashe in 1968, I want to say, in Forest Hills. However, that was the first US Open that was held in the open era. So if we look over here, you can see these are their original tennis rackets. These are, they call it here court tennis, I'm going to call it jeu de paume because that's what I know it as. And that's kind of like the French way. So you can see that the rackets is wooden, obviously. The strings are made out of gut. You ever hear like synthetic gut, natural gut? It's literally the guts, the intestines of cows and sheep that they use to make the strings. You could also see that the racket is a little bit crooked or curved, I should say. And that's when you hit the ball, you know, you're following the curve of the racket. The old balls that they were using over here, these three little white balls inside of it, now we have air and rubber in our balls. But back then, they would have a little ball of cork like this. They would wrap it in twine really, really tight. They would secure that twine with other pieces of twine so it was like really, really as solid as possible. And then they would cover it in this felt and stitch it together kind of like a baseball. These balls, as you could probably guess, don't really bounce much and they're very, very quick when they were playing on these courts. So tennis balls were originally white. They ended up changing the color to what we know as yellow or green, depends who you ask. They changed that because in Wimbledon during the 80s, I can't remember which year exactly, but during the 80s, they changed it to yellow because that's when tennis started becoming televised. And it was much easier to see the ball when it was this fluorescent yellow rather than the white. So the inductees for the Tennis Hall of Fame this year are Vijay Amritaj, Richard Evans, and Leander Pays. Two Indian players. Leander Pays is I believe the only Indian player to have a Olympic medal. So this is the original draw from 1968 US Open that was held at Forest Hills. You can see that the champion is Arthur Ashe. He won in 5 sets. For example, you had Rod Laver. He was the first seed for this tournament. They were playing 3 out of 5. Rod Laver lost in 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th round. Pancho Gonzalez, he's a notable player. John Newcomb, Ken Rosewall, Tony Roach. He was the second seed for this tournament. And a crazy 5th set as well. 14-12 in the 5th set. So if we look over here, we see the origins of the WTA, the Women's Tennis Association, which was founded in 1973. If you remember, the first men's US Open era was held in 1968. So this was 5 years after the men had had their breakout of their tour. Billie Jean King gathered a bunch of the women tennis players to put together this association to help promote women's tennis. There's the famous Battle of the Sexes between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs, in which Billie Jean King beat Bobby Riggs in straight sets, and it was televised in front of 30,000 spectators, which was a monumental push for women's tennis and equal prize money within it as well, promoting it fantastically, I think. This is the outfit that Agassi was wearing during the 2006 US Open, this Adidas kind of, I don't even know what to call it. And then of course, we can't talk about tennis fashion without talking about the most iconic tennis shoe ever made, Stan Smith's. These were actual tennis shoes that Stan Smith was using during his time throughout the 70s. I wouldn't recommend playing tennis in them, but if you want to, go for it. That's what they were made for. You don't get the same ankle support on it, which, you know, if we look over here, you have the shoes that Federer was wearing. You see there's much more ankle support. This is, I mean, the Federer whites during Wimbledon when he won the 2009 Wimbledon championships. These are probably one of my favorite shoes that Nike made with the flywire. If we look over here, we've got a huge wall of tennis balls, or I should say tennis ball cans. A lot of companies have tried making tennis balls. However, only a few were able to stand the test of time. The most notable ones that, you know, I could think of are Wilson, Dunlop, Penn, Slazenger. They're also one of the OGs. Slazenger used to be the provider, or maybe still the provider, for the Wimbledon balls. So you can see all the different types of designs. You can see, I mean, Goldsmith, Tempo, Fleet Wings, a lot of different types. Each can holds 3 tennis balls. Both these big kind of paint bucket looking cans hold 12. And the reason they put it in the cans is because you needed to preserve the pressure in the ball. If you take the ball out of the can, even if you don't play with it, the ball will eventually die. Because, as science goes, things like to go from high pressure to low pressure. So within the ball, there's high pressure. It'll eventually dissipate through the material to match the pressure of what it is outside. So they pressurize the cans so the balls stay fresh when you pop it open. Also, the smell of fresh tennis balls out of the can, I think any tennis player can attest, is just one of the best things ever. That was the International Tennis Hall of Fame. Thank you for taking this tour with me. I'm Adam Borak. I highly encourage all of you to come check out this beautiful facility, check out the museum, because there is so much history behind this place that you guys need to check out on your own. And until next time, stay tipsy.